Welcome to Mystics and Broomsticks podcast with Melanie Dawn and Tanya Ryan.
A few weeks ago, I had the distinct privilege of being a podcast guest with Casey Vollard. She has a podcast called Empower Project Radio. Definitely check it out. She has so many cool guests and so many cool topics. She is such a wizard on building a brand and building a business. And she has so much content just around empowering women to create their mark in life. And I feel like she does that from a various amount of directions. So from like tangible things like business and wealth creation, but also spiritual. I know she's like tapped into Kundalini and various other things. Anyways, it was really fun to be a guest on her podcast and participate. And so here is the podcast that I was a part of. I hope you enjoy it.
Welcome back, you guys, to another episode of Empower Project Radio. How are you? I am so freaking excited for this conversation today. You are going to love her. I just know it. You guys have actually heard me talk about this person like in different areas of my life because she's so damn good at what she does. I'm going to introduce her in a second, but before we hopped on here, I said to her, you are such a freaking master of your craft to the point where like when people tell me that they do this now, I'm like, no, you don't do it like Tanya, because truly you are like the one. And you have just played such a pivotal like role in my own healing journey. So with that, you guys, I am so excited to introduce to you Tanya Ryan, to have this conversation with you today. Tanya has, you have just played so many roles in my life. She is my own tarot reader. I feel like you're my personal tarot reader, and it really feels like that. I'm like, you're in my back pocket and everything that I do in life. But you're just a phenomenal artist in so many different realms of what you do, whether it be social media, your music that you create, your business that you run, the way that you run your household, just everything is such an artistry. And so I'm really excited to have you on here today. Guys, Tanya Ryan is also the host of the Mystics and Broomsticks podcast, formerly known as the Spiritual Boss podcast. Who has a lot of great guests and a lot of great energy. So anyway, without further ado, Tanya, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, thanks for all the hype. Like, can I just come on every week just so I can have my own personal hype sesh? This is great.
You can. She's one of those people, you guys, that I'll drop into her DMs and I'm like, you are so good at what you do. Like, it's like magic. It doesn't make sense to my brain, but you know, that's what it's like when you're really, really embodied in the work that you do and you are doing the gift that you were given. And, I hope that everybody listening does come and grab a tarot reading / astrology reading from you because they are so freaky accurate, you guys, to the point where I'm like, how the fuck did you know that? Like, there's no way that you knew that. So it's really cool. And I'm really excited for today's conversation. Tanya, I'd love to hear from you and like from my own curiosity, like how did you even get into this work that you do? Oh, like, man, being a real witch, that's your job.
Right. It's funny because I actually struggled with the term witch for so long, and only this year I'm like, yeah, fuck it. Can I swear? Sorry. Mm-hmm. Is this a swear worthy? Okay, I'll have to like consciously censor if it's not. Basically this year I was just like, you know what? It's fine. That's witch is the word, like, let's do it. I think I just really associated it with like Hollywood and stories, and it was like the Wicked Witch. It was always just like, you know, a lady with like a big bump on her nose, which I do have a bump on my nose, so you know what, even that's on brand, to be honest. I think I was just really, you know, I'm like, probably I'll have a wart coming in next year, it's fine. So, oh man, okay, there's like variations of this story of how this all began. But I'll start with tarot because it's like the simplest one. Witchcraft was introduced to me, I was actually 9 or 10 years old, and I made a friend, her name was Morgan, which is like a really great witch name, just if you don't know. And she's like, I'm a witch. I'm like, that sounds cool. I also would like to be a witch. And so she kind of got me into the ways of things. And that's where it sort of started. And then tarot was funny. Because, okay, so we had the witchery introduced around age 10, but as you do as a person, you grow and evolve and change and shift. And so I did get to a point where I just didn't believe in anything. I was like, you know what? I think atheism sounds good to me. Like, once I die, I'm dirt, and that's the end of it. So when tarot came in, I was really skeptical. A friend of mine was just full throttle into all the spiritual woo-woo things, and I just loved her, but not all the things. But she's like, we should go, you should go see a tarot reader. And I'm like, hard pass, buddy. And she's like, come on, it'd be fun. And I'm like, well, I love you, so okay, like, let's go, it'd be bonding time, whatever. And I was also like mean and excited to basically tell her on the way home that that was just a crock of crap, because I fully intended to like go deadpan for this tarot reader woman. I was like, I'm not moving my body, like, this woman will get nothing out of me. I think when I went in there, she only knew my first name too, because I didn't want to give her searchable information. So I was just like, yeah. So I was so smug, and also, don't knock it till you try it. So I went in, and this woman like blew my mind. She told me things that I had only thought, like, I'd never spoken aloud to someone. She told me things with such tremendous detail that it's like, how could she have ever known that? Like, even if she knew I, was sort of kind of seeing this guy, which no one knew at that time because I was keeping it on the DL because we were kind of like work associates. So I was, that was under wraps for both our sake. She knew his height, like, to the inch. And I was like, how do you do that? That's wild. So I went and did that. So I was not the smug one driving home. My friend was the smug one driving home, which was just like kind of karmatic for me, but that's fine. And it broke everything I believed in, which was that nothing. I didn't believe in anything. I believed in a table because I can touch a table. I can see a table. A table is real. And all of a sudden, I'm now forced to believe in something else because of this experience. And so I just thought, I'm like, well, if this is real, I want to experience this. So I, under like cloak and dagger, went and bought a tarot deck. I was mortified. I was so embarrassed. But I bought a tarot deck and I went home and I hyperfixated. What were you just telling me? You lost days on Mary Magdalene? I lost like weeks to this, man. Like, it was all I did. I just like worked and then went home and just studied and studied and I don't recommend it. This is actually why I teach it now, because I'm like, listen, don't do what I did. But I did. I studied and studied and studied and studied and studied for so long, and then I finally got to a point where, and you do get to this as a reader, you can only kind of go so far reading for just yourself. Like, you if you want to do readings, you kind of have to read for other people, even just to develop the skill. Even if you want to read better for yourself, you kind of have to read for other people. And so that's what I finally did. I got drunk one night and I read for some friends. And then it wasn't great, because it never is. Like, you're learning. It's kind of like if your 6-year-old reads you a book, like, they're not great at it. They're reading each word individually. They're not really reading you a story so much as they're reading each individual word. It's not great, but you have to start there to get great. Like, you don't read a novel unless you've read C. Jane Run. So, it's and that's the part I think that most people don't get past, is the hard part where you don't sound eloquent and you don't sound profound and you're reading things that are maybe obvious or boring, or like, you have a job. It's like, well, that's accurate. It's not specific, but it's accurate. And so, yeah, you gotta kind of keep going. But anyway, so I did. I kept going despite. And oh man, you have to like overcome, you don't want to be wrong. I have trouble being wrong, right? Like, I want, that's vulnerable for me to be wrong. So I had to risk being wrong. I also had to risk people thinking I was a lunatic because I'm reading tarot, which I thought was ridiculous. And so, yeah, then it just kind of kept growing from there. And then I really did want to teach, because I did learn that the way I went through it, it's not the wrong way, but it's the long way. And I wanted to save people from having to do what I did. So then I had to come out of the closet, and here we are.
It's so cool because when I met you like 100 years ago, it feels like I remember like when you came into Bryn's life, like your husband, for those of you who are listening. And everyone, like, I just remember, like, I remember that, and everyone's like, oh my God, like, who is this woman? Like, you were the singer, songwriter, like, this beautiful woman that just came in. And so it's just been really cool for me that I've been able to, like, watch this evolution of your life over the past however many years it's been. I don't even know. What was that like for you? Because I remember when I met you, it was still pretty like under wraps. Like you were not teaching tarot online and you were not doing this stuff by any means. And so I kind of watched you like get to come out of the closet, spiritual closet, if you will, online. What was that like for you being already such a public figure? And do you know what I mean? Like being out online and then coming out in that way.
That's so funny. It was for me, it was really hard, because I was judging myself through that pragmatic lens. Like, I was like, are people gonna think I'm nuts? Because I would have thought I was nuts. I would have thought, oh my God, what happened to her? She's got a screw loose. Like, we always knew a screw was loose, but now, wow, really? Like, is she okay? I was like worried I was gonna get thrown into an asylum or something. Like, I was, 'cause you can't prove this. That's actually why I don't remember when you said this, but that this is magic to me. Like, it is magic. Like, when you come to me and you say, holy shit, this happened, I go, holy shit, that happened. Like, that feeling never gets old for me. It's been, I don't know how long I've been doing this now, 10 years. And still, when someone comes back around and is like, dude, guess what? I'm like, oh my God, that happened for real? Whoa, this is so cool. Like, it doesn't, the novelty will not wear off. If anything, it gets better because your readings get better, right? Like, you improve. So then the things you say are more specific. Like, today I talked to someone and I'm like, I couldn't get a handle on who this guy was that's coming into their life, to the point where I'm like, it could be her dead dad. Like, I don't know, but something, this man's coming up. And I was like, okay, here's how you're going to identify this man. It's something to do with his mouth. He has a quirk with his mouth, whether he, like, kind of like rocks his thumb on his tooth. That's a thing I've seen before. I don't know. Or like chews on his cheek, or like, Elvis is known for his mouth. Like, there's just something signature about his mouth. Now, will I hear back from her? A, we have no idea. B, if I do hear back from her, will she have been able to find the guy with the mouth thing? I don't know. But, now I have to just like sit and wait. And there are so many things that, oh, the amount of babies, man, like, and those babies take a long time because I see them at like age 3 to 5. So for me to like know if I got them, like, so they're born, that's one validation. But then I want to know if I got their personalities, which I have to wait 3 to 5 years to find out. So it's a patience game. Like, if you want to get into reading, it's so fun. But yeah, it's like, it's a, you gotta stay, you gotta dial in. I kind of dodged your question and digressed onto something else. Sorry about that. It was scary. Long story short, coming out of the closet was hard and scary because I didn't want to get committed and I was judging myself the whole time. But I did it because this is so stupid. I didn't want someone else to do it first. I was like, if someone else, starts reading tarot and I feel like I missed out on being first. I know that other people come out first, just so we're clear. I know I wasn't like, that was not a pioneer voyage there, but I was like, if someone close to me started putting this out there and then I feel like I'm copying them, I just won't come out because I don't want to feel like I'm following someone. And that might sound extremely egocentric, but it worked to get me out of the closet. So that's really all that matters.
I don't think it's egocentric though, because that's what, like that's who listens to this podcast is really the people who are like, I have these gifts. A, I am terrified of like, being the mom of the school teacher or the like whatever role it is that they play, and then they want to come out of the spiritual closet and start, doing these things, whether it's reading tarot or astrology or kundalini or, healing or reiki or like whatever it is that, we're doing. That is the thing. Like people are terrified of speaking their truth, being like, hey, like, yes, I have lost my mind, but it feels good. So I'm doing this thing. And I resonate so fucking much with that when you say, like, I wanted to be the one first. I am like, if it is not so unique, like, if I feel like what I'm doing is not incredibly unique, then I'm like, I can't do it. I have like such resistance to it in my body. And so I think that there's a lot of like unpacking there for people that even though you might not be the first one to do it, the way that you do it is really, really unique. And it's still valid. Like everyone's fucking gifts are still valid, even if everybody in the world started doing it, because the way that you do it is so different and it's so unique, you know?
I think for me too, it's like whatever gets you out. Like if you know you're supposed to be out, and my thing was I really wanted to teach, and I was like, shit, if I teach the I'm not going to get any students if I don't have any credibility. I don't get any credibility unless people know that I do this, and I've kind of proven I can do this. So I do have to come out in order to do what I wanted to do. And so my thing is like if you know you're supposed to do a thing, like then whatever it is to get you doing it, even if that is like, you know, baiting your ego into making it happen. So I'm all about like, let's just get the result. Who cares the how? let's just get to the end point. And no, 'cause no one really cares. Like they're like, oh, you do terror. And no one cared, right? Like I came out of the closet, like zero people were like, witch, you know, no one burned me at the pyre. Like it was fine. I made all that up in my head. So, you know, it's good. You're your own, you're your own, you can have a really good come to Jesus moment about your main character syndrome complex.
Yeah, you're forever reminding me of that. I remember when I was like, I have like an identity crisis. You're like, you're not having a fucking identity crisis. You're having an identity online crisis, which is different than your actual identity. You're like, you're fine. You need to stop fucking worrying about like who you have to be online. And I was like, don't at me every time. I know. I need a dose of like and like blunt truth. It's always Tanya Ryan that dishes it. So
You
I love
know,
that. Let's Yeah, go
well, I
ahead.
can't even take credit for it because that's tarot, man. Like, there's a joke, there's a meme that goes online. You have to have seen it because it's come on like 10,000 times. But it's like, there's always a joke comparing Oracle to tarot, and Oracle's like this gentle, you know, loving light that comes and pets your head and says everything's gonna be okay. And tarot's like, wake the fuck up, bitch! Like, so if you know, if you're in a place where you need to read, I mean. It can still be gentle. I have given gentle tarot readings, but a lot of them are like, all right, you ready to eat it? Here's your humble pie. It comes out
Totally.
as a serve a lot. A gentle, supportive, constructive serve, but a serve.
Totally. I think that's why tarot and business go so well together as opposed to oracle and business. I think it's really interesting when people use or not sh throwing shade, but like when people use oracle decks to give them confirmation of your business, it's like it's kind of a confirmation bias. You know that it's going to tell you exactly like, yes, you've got this, keep going. Whereas something like tarot, it's like, no, you have to redirect, or no, this isn't going to work out, or no, you're going to have a really shitty month and then another shitty month, but then it's going to get really good, you know? And like every year when we do my yearly tarot reading, like there's so many months and I'm like, fuck January. Like, I don't even, can we just skip to like August? 'Cause this sucks. And it is really honest, but the things that you learn through that are just so powerful. Let's talk about that using tarot in business, because I think that that's a really fucking powerful tool that I have used with you. Guys, I get a yearly reading with Tanya. Every year in like December, she forecasts my whole year. It is so freaky accurate, from like team members leaving to things that I'm moving through in my life and my family and how that affects my business. She has predicted some massive launches and some things that have like failed and just has helped me navigate like a lot of incredible things. Let's talk about that, using tarot as an entrepreneur.
Well, and like I want to kind of elaborate on your Oracle thing because maybe this will give, because if people use Oracle decks, like don't chuck them out. They're great.
Yeah,
Oracle,
totally.
to me, the difference is detail. So
Yeah.
Oracle might say no, but it'll like kind of, that's all it says. It's just like, oh, no, you know, gentle support here, or yes, gentle support here. But Tarot's going to be like, okay, here, let's break this down. Here's what's working for you. Here's what's not working for you. Here's where your like even your thing with the ident. You're like, I'm having an identity crisis, and it's like, well, actually, no, it's like a branding issue. Like it's it. But I get how you feel like it's an identity crisis because you are your brand. So it. You know, but if we can separate that, like I mean, I don't assume how you that impacted you, but for me, that would like go in my that would sit in my brain different. Like, go, oh, I actually have a different problem to solve here. I thought it was this big problem. Turns out this is actually something I could bring into my team or whatever and sit down and strategize. Like, that's a separate issue. And I feel like tarot does that, is it gets into the specifics of like what's really the problem versus what we perceive the problem to be, or giving like insight on relationships, relationship dynamics. And then because your business is a living, breathing entity, it is basically a relationship. So it's like, what is your relationship like with your business? Are you too dependent on your business? Are you like, is your business on life support that you're like just pumping air into it and it's really just surviving but not thriving? Well, why isn't it thriving? What's the actual issue? So it's almost like tarot is like this doctor that is determined to get to the root of the issue, not just treat the symptoms, not just going like, you know, push this button again and it'll keep your business alive. It'll be like, no, let's figure out why your business is dying. Like, let's figure out why it's not operating or working the way that you want it to. Like, it's like going to the doctor and going like, my tummy hurts, and the doctor going, here, take a pill for tummy hurts, versus going to someone else and going, my tummy hurts, and they're going, that's interesting. Like, do you notice it hurts the same time every day? Does it, like, they ask more questions to actually find out, oh, hey, actually turns out you're allergic to dairy, stop eating that, your tummy won't hurt anymore, and then there's no pill involved and we're not having that issue. That's kind of how I think tarot can be so handy in, well, in any aspect, because you can just take that and apply it to any category of life. But definitely, I've had some business related conversations that I think have been really interesting and successful, for lack of a better word.
I agree. And what I found, like, with the tarot readings and my business, is that it helped me stop being so victimized by my business all the time. So it's really easy, like, as coaches, entrepreneurs, or, you know, mentors, whatever you do online, it's so easy to look at your business in this like linear way where it always has to be getting bigger and better, bigger and better. And when you have dips, it's like, it means something about me. It means something about like the success of my business. Where is this going? What am I doing wrong? All of these things. And so what these readings really helped me to do, and the way that like I perceive tarot, is that like you're gonna have low months and you're gonna have high months, and you can kind of like forecast and predict for it, so you know that it's coming. You don't have to feel any kind of a way about it. You get to see where the success is happening. But it also, like, for me and my business, when I know that I'm having those low months, it gave me the perspective of, like, why I was having the low month. Why is that being given to me? What needs to be looked at? What needs to be refined? What needs to be cleaned up? What is the energy that has to be shifted? And so often, like, it's what it brought up for me was like the shadowy aspect that I wasn't willing to look at, because it was always like bigger, better, more money, bigger months, more clients, like new launches, new, big. And I think that's what's really perpetuated in the coaching industry. You know, it's like bigger, better, bigger, better, bigger, better. And so when tarot came into play, it was like, here's the shadow aspect of this that you have to fucking look at. And when you do, it's going to create the success that you want. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like, the human experience, we naturally, like, no one wants bad news, right? And that was, it's actually a whole like segment in my online course, is talking about how to like deal with bad, air quotes, tarot readings, bad cards, bad, like, how do you, you know, deliver news? Like, when you see something in someone's cards and you're like, uh-oh, shitty things coming, you know, there's like, well, there's many ways to go around it. But I think that the human experience is that we always want good news. We always want to know that things are going to be awesome. But the reality of the human experience is it ebbs and flows, and there's going to be ups and there's going to be downs. And those ups and downs, this is how you can deliver kind of shitty news if you need to, is the ups and downs are always very relative to that human being. So a down, for instance, with one person, what did I say in theirs? I said something about an appliance going out. And so I basically was like, hey, so the upside to having this tarot forecast was, I was like, okay, you do have like a financial dip in, like, say it was July. I don't remember. I'm like, you have a financial dip, but it's not that big a deal, but it's a big deal. It'll be something like your furnace or your hot water tank or like something super annoying, but you're fine. just but and especially if you save up for it, then you'll be extra fine. So let's save up for it. So that's what tarot can do too, is go, hey, I'm seeing like us hitting the ditch financially in July. So let's bolster, like, you know, just make sure you're not spending excessively, or, you know, you've got a little extra in the tank kind of a thing, or do what you can to create that buffer zone for yourself so that when you hit July, it's not quite as intense. But yeah, some of those downs are really just like, you know, or maybe you're sad that month. Like, it, you know, it's not doom. Well, we all are all the anxiety riddled generation of millennials is just like, just expecting doom. And I am one of them. So like, preach, it's not, I'm not judging. I am speaking from experience. But yeah, no one wants bad news. And so I think tarot has taught me to, just from reading it and seeing other people's, is really understanding that that's a part of life. So when I get a, you know, in air quotes, bad reading, I can go, okay, like this is to prepare me so that I can be better equipped to manage that situation. This is not just someone saying, hey, ready? It's going to suck. Like, good night. Hand me my money. Bye. You know, like I'll, if I see something kind of icky, like I go, okay, well, why are we seeing this? There's obviously a reason, and it's not just to create, you know, an anxiety tailspin, which still does happen with certain people. Cause, you know, can't, if you got an air sign moon, I mean, I can't help you. That's, no, just kidding. That just means, for those of you that don't know astrology, that just means you guys are natural overthinkers. So.
Yeah, it's true. I'm one of those people too, where I'm like, what do you mean? Wait, what? Like, we're going to need some confirmation cards on that one because I
Well, aren't you a Virgo moon? No, you're a Virgo rising. What's your moon again?
I'm a Virgo moon and rising.
Oh, Virgo moon too. Okay, yeah. No, okay, so that checks out too because Virgo is Mercury ruled. So Virgo moons, Virgo placements are also overthinkers. So it's your, sorry, yes, let's amend that. If you're an air sign or a Virgo, those are automatically the Overthinkers Anonymous Club. So yes, you qualify in the Overthinker Anonymous Club.
Yeah, I'm forever overthinking everything. And that's why sometimes too, like when we have people, like I have you on my team in my corner, like you are one of the investments that I will make into my business as a business owner for the rest of all time, like on payroll every year, because I'm like, when you are an overthinker, that's something really beautiful that when you know that about yourself, bring people onto your team that help you navigate that piece of yourself. I think that a lot of people are running around with like, they're just fucking making excuses for themselves, you know, like I can't do this or I won't be this. And they're constantly being victimized by their human design or like their natal chart or something else. And instead of allowing yourself to be, you know, victimized, I have ADHD or I am an overthinker or I have like an emotional authority, have to wait 24, like stop and bring on people to help support those pieces of you that feel unstable or ungrounded. And I know that you've been a huge part of that for me. So entrepreneurs, it's okay to have healers and tarot readers on speed dial when you are a chronic overthinker like me.
Preach. Well, I honored to be on the team. I'm going to put that on my resume, actually. I'm pretty excited about that. I am on Casey Bullard's team.
Team ASR, Tanya, yeah. Ryan, Tarot Reader. Oh my God.
Emotional support tarot reader on call here.
Do you think, you know how like people can be like wands people or swords people or like pentacles people? Do you think the businesses are the same way?
Like, oh, 100%. Your business can have an identity for sure. It's obviously, if you are a person who is your own brand, then your business is going to look a lot like you. But no, definitely. I just like your business can have a chart too, right? If your business has like a birth date, then it has its own natal chart. Your marriage has a natal chart. Your house, I think. Well, I know your house has a, well, probably has a natal chart too, but it has a, oh, it's Akashic Records. Yep. If you,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you can go into your house's Akashic Records and like figure stuff out through that. There's nothing you can't put something on. You know what I mean? And also, because belief is this infinite space, there's no limit to what can and can't be, essentially. There's going to be things that I subscribe to and not, and there's going to be things you subscribe to and not. But, you know, whoever's out there, you get to, like, when they say you're the creator of your own world, you really are. Like, you really get to pick it all.
Yeah, I agree for sure. And I was just saying that this morning too, I was having a conversation with somebody and we got into the topic of religion inside of one of my Kundalini groups. And I was like, here's the thing, guys, like if this is your body of belief and you are in this circle, which is a different body of belief, of course, there are going to be things that are incongruent. And all that is perspective. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all it is. It's one person's like worldly energetic perspective compared to somebody else's. And so we sit here and we argue about these things. But it's literally like you as a human from the point that you're born, navigating, going through the world, collecting all of these things and going, this is belief and truth for me through my lens. And somebody else does the same thing. And then we start arguing with people about truth. And it's like, whose truth, you know? And so I think that that's what's really cool about even spiritual tools, whether it's like tarot or astrology or human design or something like Kundalini, which is an energy, you know, tool in its own somatic way. Like, you get to perceive it the way that you want to. And some things are going to really resonate and some things are not going to resonate. And that's okay too. But it doesn't take the power and the validity away from any of them. You know?
Oh, yeah, like, exactly. There's also going to be ones that, like, it's like people, right? There's just ones that work for you and ones that don't. There's going to be ones you really get on with and ones that really trigger you and ones that, yeah, it's all got its own. I always kind of see it as each of us has our own kind of like unique energetic code, like almost like if you had energetic DNA and that's yours. And so, of course, you're going to attune to certain things in a certain way and others in another way. It's actually why I get really put off by, you know, spiritual teachers or people that make rules, because it's like that is only a rule through the lens of your unique DNA, which doesn't invalidate the rule, but it doesn't make it a rule for everyone. It makes it a rule for people in your like little Venn diagram, aka like there's your unique, you know, DNA properties. Absolutely, there's gonna be other people that can claim that as truth. But, you know, I think dogma can be really problematic. And I've also watched a lot of true crime and cult documentaries. So dogma is just a red flag if you want to stay out of a cult. Okay. Just if anyone tells you that something just is a certain way, run. No, the kid's not that cut and dry, but you know, if you want to stay out of cults, pretty much that's a good rule.
Yeah. It's actually so funny that we're talking about this, because I literally was talking about cults like 2 hours ago on a call that we were having, like in a group that I'm in. And I was like, literally like, ever, like so many things, that's a cult. Kundalini, is that a cult? Like I could ask that, like, well, number one, it depends on how you look at it. Like, is As She Rises a cult? Maybe if you believe that like what I say out of my mouth is a truth and you can't think anything outside of it. However, I'm not a cult leader because I foster this belief that like, please come in no matter what your beliefs are. And if you don't align with my truth, we can still be friends and you can still have like other belief systems. So definition of a cult, it's like when there is either a body of knowledge or one person that if you go against that body of knowledge or that one person, you're exiled and you're wrong. For it. And so we have so much proof of that. And I think there's a lot of fucking constructs that we have abided to in the last, like, you know, few hundred years that we could easily say is also a cult. And it's just a matter of time before people start fucking calling it what it is. So it's very interesting. And I think sovereign ways of thinking. Yes. And be careful, because there's cults everywhere you look. There's cults in the coaching world. There's cults in spirituality. There's cults in any radical way of thinking, for sure.
Ultimately, just foster your inner autonomy.
Yeah. Like your body knows.
Yeah. And, you know, trust and critical thinking. Like, you should have, you know, people and mentors around you that support your critical thinking and questioning things. Like, I mean, I know that some of us can just generally get triggered by people asking questions, but if that feels like a red flag to you, like, then it is. And just, Like so much of tarot readings, because I do read very predominantly for women. I read for men, I read for anybody, but women end up being probably most of my demographic. And there's so many themes that come up. And I would say one of the huge ones with women is often I'm talking to them about fostering that relationship with their inner sense of like self and guidance and following, like watering that plant, like tending to that garden and helping it to flourish, and how to go about doing that. And we do that through any variety of ways. Like with you, we do dig into like shadowy stuff because you're in a place where you can digest that. That's not everybody's conversation. I find I just as a human being, I enjoy those because like I'm a Scorpio, Capricorn, Virgo. So I love me some morbid, like deep, dark, icky conversations. That's like I'm an emo kid at heart. So that's my jam. But it's not how everybody's conversation goes. But I just find all of those conversations, even if they're had in different ways, ultimately are getting someone closer to their power, like getting somewhere closer to the light that's guiding them forward. And my favorite part about readings is when I'm reading for someone and the human me, because this is the best way I can explain this, is like a passenger for the experience, which is why, like, if I do readings for you, like if you book in with me and then you come at me, which I love, right? Come back at me like a year later or 6 months or 3 years later, whatever. And you say, hey, what you said happened. You're gonna have to tell me what I said because I'm not really fully there for the reading. Like I am, you will see me, I am engaged, but it's just like, that's not the reading for me. So I try to get out of the way as much as I can. But I'm a passenger. I'm there, and it's happening. Oh, I lost my train of thought. It's because I got thinking about something. Anyways, so the higher self part, you're getting closer to your. Oh, right. When I'm the passenger, I have been passenger, and I'm seeing this, and I disagree with the like guidance that's coming out, or it's not even disagree, but like the passenger me is like judging the situation, but the person talking who is like not me, it's like maybe their guides or my guides or like whatever's coming through there, is like giving such grounded advice, and me over here on the sidelines is like, what in the sweet shit are you saying? Like it's and I don't think anything's ever come out that's like a con. Like I don't tell someone, sell all your belongings, and there's nothing icky or weird like that happens. But sometimes, yeah, I've just heard like what spirit's telling the person to do, and I'm like, no, you know what? That bitch needs to dump that guy. He is an asshole, whatever it is. But like that's not what spirit's saying, so I have to do what spirit says. But like it's wild to be able to like separate from the conversation to that, like to be talking, but be a witness to what you're talking. I don't know. It's really cool and kind of messed up.
That is really cool. I love some of the stuff that, like, the one that really stands out to me is like last year. I don't know, it was like beginning of last year. Like, March is really interesting. Like, I just see daddy issues. Like, so, like, it's just daddy issues all over. What the fuck do you mean, daddy issues? And it was like, I don't have much more to say, but like, that's the shadow that's coming out for that is daddy issues. And it was so bizarre that like that month, my dad came very much like back into my life. And there were just so many things that kind of started to come to the surface and all shit. And I was like, oh, Tanya, like, the daddy issues, like, that was a legit thing. So it's funny. It's just funny some of the stuff that like comes through. And I'm like, so grateful for it. If somebody wanted to start reading tarot for their own business, where would be a good place to start? Obviously, your program. I will shamelessly plug the program myself. I took it. It's fucking awesome. I hope that you guys do too. We'll talk about it in a minute. But what is like a good place to start kind of using tarot as a tool for your business?
Let me think about that. Like, this is my brain is trying to figure out like what's the fastest way I can get you reading tarot for your business.
You like book in a call.
Yeah,
We'll start
well,
there.
no, Okay, so the first thing to do obviously is buy a deck, and you just buy one you like especially like you like the pictures, you and make sure you like more than just the cover picture, because some decks are kind of tricky like that. So go to a place where you can like sample decks and like check out the whole thing. And you want to buy something that you just love to look at. You enjoy, the artwork, and it can be simple, complex. It doesn't super matter as long as you feel drawn to it. And if you set an intention ahead of time, like set the intention, look, I want a deck I can align with and that is like, a good for me to start with. Something to that specification, you should be able to kind of find the right one for you. Because there are ones that are a little more complex than others, but it's you really can't mess it up that much. So find a deck you like. And then when you I when you take if you take my course, the first thing I get people do is like take this like little oath of like, I will not open my guidebook. And it's essentially so I can get people reading intuitively instead of by memory, because your memory can, it's not, that's the way I learned. It's not a bad way to learn. Doesn't mean you can't read. It's just sometimes it actually interrupts the flow of intuition. So you have to then learn to like overcome, like overriding your memory to get to the intuition part. So you may as well just learn intuitively first. So I would say like open up your deck or like run through it or whatever and bring up a card and then just try to like make up a story about that card. Like happily ever once upon a time, like as crass. Remember when we started CJ and Run. It's not that profound at first. So open up and if you do this every day, like you pick one card or if you're really into it, three or if you're like me and you're psychotic, like just I don't know, read the whole deck in a, every day. I don't know. But just kind of keep making up these stories about the cards. If that doesn't resonate with you, just think of like catch the symbols in the card or the images and what do those images mean to you? Like maybe you're more of a keyword kind of guy. That's fine too. If you're not like vibing with the story, keywords are fine. So say you have like a card with a butterfly on it. What does a butterfly mean to you? Like for me, my first word that comes to mind is transformation. Okay, cool. This is now my keyword for this card is transformation. Who cares what the card actually means? There's a butterfly on it. That's what stood out to you. Now that means transformation for now. Again, the cards will grow with you and you grow with the cards. So I just get like some familiarity around the deck. And then do you also remember when I said it's really hard to advance in reading for yourself if you don't read for other people? Once you've kind of spent some time with the deck, I would get some friends, even if you've got to have some margaritas ahead of time to like get your, gusto up, which I did. And, not do anymore. I don't really do it anymore, but I did just to get the bravery, get really bold. I also speak much better Spanish when I'm a little drunk. It's true.
Mexican inspired card reading with Tanya.
I was out with a friend and I was drunk and there was a, we were in Vegas and there was a Spanish woman tending to the bathroom and I convinced my friend I was fluent in Spanish because I was talking to this woman that was tending the bathroom, but it's only because I was drunk and it's very broken Spanish. It's not very good Spanish, but if you don't speak Spanish, it sounds great. But anyways, yeah, I'm just chatting up the bathroom attendant, asking her where she's from. And then of course when you ask someone where they're from, they're like, how do you know Spanish? Because they're like, where are you from? Canada. Why do you know Spanish? Because I like it. Like it's just, anyways. Okay, so that's a digression. Sorry. Okay, so read for other people. So this is really good, Casey, if you wanted to foster this in your groups, because this is something that I think is really handy. Is it like, say you like challenged your people, like you've got some sort of, it doesn't even matter if it's on like on tarot brand, but you've got, Kundalini circle or a woman's circle or whatever. And chances are, we talked the Venn diagrams, right? There's some overlap. There's going to be some people in there interested in tarot. Then tradesies, like buddy up with someone else that's also learning and trade readings with each other. So you practice kind of just getting some familiarity around reading. And then when you can have some readings with other people, you'll, it's hard to explain, but you will just learn things through that interaction. And it will help make when you read for yourself feel a little more real, feel a little bit more solid. Because when you read for yourself initially, which I encourage you to do, but it'll feel you'll open up cards and go, what does this mean? Because 10 years later, I've been doing this for 10 years. I still, to this day, will open up cards and go, I don't know what this means. Because it's like, it's a trip reading for yourself. It's hard to do. So the other hack I have, and this is handier if you're someone who's been reading tarot for a little while, I read tarot very well for other people. So I kind of like disembody myself and pretend I'm reading for somebody else. And I will do this by way of voice note, or I will type it all out and just pretend the reading is for somebody else. Because I have noticed that, kind of like breathing, I can't take in oxygen and expel it at the same time. I have to breathe in and then breathe out. I can't hear guidance and digest it easily. So I just kind of basically focus on hearing it, and like, you know, and then I sit down later and I listen to the voice note, or I read what I wrote. And that has been a way that has really helped me, get much finer tuned information. 'Cause I just kind of like try to remove myself as much as I can, try not to hear what's coming through, just kind of just type it or just say it. Like, it just comes out. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, obviously I'm there, but I kind of just try to get out of the way as much as possible and then go back later and sit down maybe with my journal or with my notes, and I focus in and then I listen intently. And it's just, that's helped a lot.
Very cool. I love it so much. What do you say like to people who believe that, and I know what you're going to say, but I feel like there's just so many listeners who are in this era still where it's like, I want to get into tarot, or I want to get into astrology, or like, this comes up in the Kundalini world a lot. I get asked about like, well, is Kundalini dangerous, or is Kundalini evil, or is, because like, there's so much fear mongering around that. Mm-hmm. So like, what's your take on that with tarot?
Okay, remember, we're our own energetic DNAs, right? So I don't know that I fully subscribe. I'm still figuring this out. Okay, so no one come at me. I don't know if
you're,
I
like, next year when you are listening to this podcast, my opinion has changed.
it does, though. It changes regularly. I don't know how I believe evil to exist in this world. And what I mean by that is, obviously, there are things that can happen to us that are undesirable. And that could be like the understatement of a century, right? I understand that. And this would also, can we just like leave like the extra, extra horrible things off to the side? You know, like, evil exists in the world. But I think that a lot of the time, most of the time, okay, so let's say this is where I'm at. Evil exists in the world, but a lot of the time, and most of the time, there's not evil. Most people are not evil. There are a lot of lost people. There's a lot of emotionally immature people. There's a lot of people that don't prioritize emotional or spiritual intelligence. There's a lot of people that don't, there's a lot of non-intellectual people too. Like, there's just all kinds of kinds in the world. And I think that, there are people who make uninformed choices, who make choices out of patterned behavior and whatever. And, you know, does that qualify as evil, or is it, you know, the dynamic of two people interacting? So, okay, what I'm going to do to get myself out of trouble here is say, like, if there's a ghost in a house, and say that ghost is like a Dennis the Menace, okay? So they're pretty harmless, but they enjoy scaring you. So they do things like, the spirit comes in and like poltergeist styles, like slamming doors and doing crazy things. And that terrifies you, but they just think it's funny. Are they evil, or are they like mischievous? Like, I don't know. Like, this is the question. So I tend to err on the side of mischievous. And it's, again, not to say it's not scary. You don't want it gone, blah, blah, blah. You could be a nice ghost. And if, like, I kind of think ghosts are like people. Like, you could be the nicest person in the world, but if you're like in my kitchen at 3 a.m. and I did not invite you, yeah, I'm going to ask you to leave. That's an invasion of my space. Like, you could be someone's grandma, and I'd be like, listen, grandma, I'm trying to sleep. Please go home. So, that's kind of my perspective, I guess, on like evilness. And tarot specifically, a lot of our belief systems around evil, around energetic practices are rooted in religious control. So I think that's another way for me to get out of that is that, like, again, this is a little off topic, but did you know that circumcision was like invented as a way to like stop young men from masturbating? And when I found that out, I was like, cool. So we're all still doing this, but it's like, that's where, why it started. What a silly thing to still be doing like centuries later then that we, cause no one, you know, believes that now. Now we have all of these other false beliefs around it being cleaner or whatever, which is not wholly true. But anyways, okay. So it's just basically going like, there's so much stuff that was created in religion and all of these narratives that were created for control purposes. Like, we want to make sure that people are doing what we say they should do and not doing what they shouldn't, or what we don't want them to do. And I also think a lot of those are ruled by patriarchy. Like, we don't want women to have power. We don't want women to have autonomy. We don't want them to have, you know, so there's like, if you really like look at it, there's so much that's been there to kind of dismember your feminine power, your feminine intuition. So I don't subscribe to those beliefs myself, which is why I would say tarot is not inherently evil. I believe anything can be used for evil. Like, I can use a knife to like prepare dinner for my family, which is objectively loving. I could also use it to stab my husband, which is objectively wrong, but it's a knife at the end of the day. So, you know, the knife is not the problem. The person behind it is. So the tarot would be, in my opinion, the same thing. It's a tool. It is a neutral tool until it is yielded with malicious intent. I could have said that probably as a much shorter statement.
I love your tangents. I love when you go tangents with Tanya. They're perfect. I love them. I totally agree. And I think in addition to that, because that's definitely like one of the main things that I get asked about a lot, and like rightfully so, when you're new in this world and then, you know, you start poking around in it and people are like, that's the devil's work, and you're like, maybe, but like, I don't know. What I think and how I explain it is like, all of these tools are to tap you into or awaken your own intuition. That's not something outside of you. Like, your power is something that is instilled at you, in you at birth. Like, when we life force energy, that's, you know, and intuition is so attached to that. So when people get freaky about like yoga practice or kundalini or things like tarot or astrology, it's like, it's not evil. It's awakening a part of you that is already there. Mm-hmm. So if there's evil living in you, then yeah, it might go in that direction. And for the most part, it's like, it's not channeling in something outside of you. It's channeling in something that's already innately there for mm-hmm. you and for your greater good and for your support. So it's just interesting. Yes. I love it. That's amazing. Okay. So everybody go and take Tanya's tarot course, because it truly is so cool. It's not just for entrepreneurs and business owners. It really is like the basics of reading tarot, how to do it, how to connect with your cards. It is not the same that you would read in a book, I promise you, because I read so many books and then I went to Tanya and was like, I still just don't fucking get it and I can't connect to it and I feel overwhelmed. Took the course and now I'm like, oh, it's become a really cool tool. And I still go to Tanya for her readings because they're chef's kiss, just amazingly accurate. So can you tell them briefly about the tarot program, because it's coming out on the 19th of May?
Yes, 19th of May. We just meet once a week. It's a few hours every Sunday morning. It's on Zoom, so it's wherever you are, you can be there. And essentially I break down the tarot in a way that, like, I want to get you to be able to read tarot as efficiently and essentially as, like, I want to get you there as quickly as possible. So I give you all of my tools to kind of hub down and make this a digestible and achievable process. So kind of like Casey said, there's so many books out there, but I find that it can just really create a lot of overwhelm. So my goal with the tarot course is to essentially like break it down so that it's just very digestible. And then in addition to that, kind of like I was promoting with your like women's groups, is you now have a group of people where you can trade readings. And the benefit is generally these people don't know each other, right? And that's so handy to be able to have a space where you can trade readings with someone you have no clue about, because that's where you get to see the magic happen. Like that's where, because you get to say, oh, you have two kids, and they're like, whoa, I do have two kids, and you're like, whoa, you have two kids. Like it's just, it's cool. And that's and when you can do that, it like the way that that like lights up people's confidence, like instantly, it just like it propels you forward. I think if I had people, like I had no network, I was all alone, and if I had a network, I think I could have moved forward a lot faster. So, and you have access to me, you can ask me all the questions.
Oh my god, totally. Do you have a favorite deck? What's your favorite deck?
Oh, it changes. I love this one. It's called Alchemical Tarot by Robert M. Place, but it's a bit intense. I don't know if I'd recommend that for beginners. Oh, look, my favorite beginner deck is right here. Lightseer's Tarot is one I usually recommend for a beginner deck. And the there's a traditional classic deck called the Rider-Waite-Smith deck. That's a really good one because there's so many resources for it. Like if you are going to go by books, that one has a lot of resources. The Lightseer's Tarot is just like, oh, the images are so great. It's super colorful. The pictures are detailed, but not overwhelming. And then the Alchemical Tarot is just a little bit morbid. So that's, it's not really that bad, but it's just, and resume. There's naked people on it. Like some people aren't into that. It's just, you know, it's just a little more intense. So something for everyone.
I love it. No, I just want another reading. Oh, I'm addicted. And it's such a good addiction. I'm not even mad about it. It's funny. Like some people go for Botox like every 3 months and I go for tarot readings because I just fucking can't live without it. And you're just so good at what you do. Well, thank you so much for being here today. This is awesome. I feel inspired to like pull out my deck. This is such a cool resource. And I think as entrepreneurs, like spiritual entrepreneurs, visionaries, like pull on these tools. You don't have to do it yourself. You are not going at this alone. There are people, there are healers, there are resources, there's things like tarot, there's awesome books. Like we're all in this together and it's really cool. So thank you so much for sharing your magic with us today, guys. Just reach out to Tanya, book a session with her, whether it's an astrology reading or a tarot reading. I promise it's just, it will change your whole world. Tanya, where can people find you? Where are you hanging out the most right now?
Instagram and TanyaRyan.ca. If you just want to go straight to the source, there's a book online there. And I think the tarot course is under events, if my memory serves me.
Amazing. We'll put it all into the show notes, everything in the show notes. And don't forget to go have a listen to her podcast, which I will also link into the show notes. Okay. Thank you so, so much, Tanya, mwah, for being on here with me today. This has been just, I love hanging out with you. It's just awesome.
Thanks, Casey. You're the best.